Afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much. I'm very conscious that I'm the only thing now that stands between you and lunch, so I'll try and keep my presentation short. Really, the real benefit of me being here today is to hear your questions and answer your questions, so I'm going to go through some high-level information at a pretty rapid pace to give you on the floor the majority of the time. I've got some slides on the screen. I'll talk you through those. I'm terrible at sticking to presentations that people write for me, but I'll stick as close to the slide content as possible. So the first slide just is introduction. I'm, as introduced, Anna Kinnison. I'm responsible for the National Care Service programme rather than just the bill, and that's a really important point. The National Care Service Programme, as Stuart McMillan just talked about, is a government programme about continuous improvement. It's about us learning and developing the delivery of community health and social care and social work services for the benefit of people. What the bill does, that framework bill, is proposing some new laws that might deliver some of those improvement agendas. So the bill is a small part of the National Care Service ambition, and it's really important that we work with all of you to help you understand that, to help you understand why we need new laws and get your views on those, but also to talk to you beyond that about the other plans that we have to improve service delivery for people, which is really the heart of this approach and programme. Now, Ministers commissioned Derek Feely to do an independent review of adult social care towards the end of the first stage of the pandemic, because the pandemic had highlighted a number of issues in the way in which we deliver public services in community health and social care. And the Feely review came back, I'm sure you're all aware, with the recommendations within that, but it indicated that Scotland needed to undertake additional further change to make sure that we could drive forwards improvements for people in service delivery. Now, I think additional change is very important, because many of you in this room and beyond have said repeatedly that we have, over the last 20 years in Scotland, made a number of changes and approach to the delivery of community health and social care on the ground, and actually that has, you know, if you're experiencing those changes in the front line, that can become quite, quite a challenge. So what we really need to do now is take stock about the best way to deliver those services. And that's why, again, we're putting people at the heart. And later on, I'll talk a lot about what co-design means in practice. But the independent review is one of the major pieces of evidence that shows that we need change and that we need to really, all of us, sign up together to a process of continuous improvement for the delivery of community health and social care services, and to drive up the outcomes, better outcomes, for people who are engaging with those services. The next slide sets out the vision for the National Care Service. So right at the start, we worked with the Social Covenant Steering Group, which is a group of representative people who have experience of receiving care support, on what our high-level ambition should be for the National Care Service programme. So again, broader than the bill. And it talks about transforming people's experience of social care support and related services, strengthening prevention and community-based support and reform access, continuing integration of community health and social care and strengthening partnerships across services and agencies, ensuring that individuals can participate in their own care design, ensuring people's needs are met holistically and driven by outcomes that are important to both them and their communities, and then a final one about really the need for us to think about strengthening preventative interventions and early interventions and supporting people. It says if you're end of life, but I think probably what that should have said was throughout their whole life. So ensuring that whatever part of your life's journey you're at, we're putting the right support in place. Now, I say this was drafted at the start because I think what the National Care Service Bill helpfully does in Section 1, if you want to go look at that, is set the principles for future Scottish ministers. So it sets out how do we want our system to operate. And that takes this vision that was developed in partnership with people and starts to put some legal framework around that. So if you want to see how that might play out in terms of future laws, then I would suggest you go and look at Section 1 of the bill, which I've left at my chair. And that talks about collaboratively co-designing with people, both systems and services. That talks about embedding human rights, which is a big issue for people who are in receipt or come into contact with the system. So section one of the bill drives forward this original vision and puts in place a legal framework to support it. Let's talk a bit about the timeline for the National Care Service. So 2021 was when Feely published his independent review. And then in the summer, in response to that, Scottish ministers published their own consultation based on the initial actions they thought they could take in response to the Feely review. And that really sets out, that consultation sets out the breadth of work that's being undertaken through the National Care Service programme. So it sets out the improvement activities around fair work, continuous improvements in terms of service, improvement frameworks more generally. It talks about how we can further integrate this. So it sets a huge programme of work out, which I can share, which I will share with organisers afterwards, and they can share it as they see fit, beyond just the pieces of changes to law suggested in the bill. Again, just to support that continuous improvement ambition that we have. In September 2021, there was a commitment to a National Care Service being established and bringing forward legislation to support that in the Scottish Government's Programme for Government. And then by February, we were starting to talk to you about what the analysis for that consultation looked like, with overwhelming support for the majority of the consultation. And I think that's quite important, because over recent months since the bill's introduced, as you would expect when any bill's going through Parliament, the media tend to pick up on sound bites and certain angles of the parliamentary scrutiny process. It's our job now, as the civil service, to make sure that we are looking at all of the evidence in totality. So the evidence we've received during consultation, the additional evidence we've gathered through organisations and independent reports since we started on this journey, and all the evidence that was part of that scrutiny process. And we'll work with ministers as they formulate a formal response to that bill feedback. But it's really important that, you know, I communicate. The media always pick up on certain aspects of it, but there was lots of really rich evidence provided during that scrutiny process from individuals, from people, from stakeholders and organisations, and that will form another part of the evidence for which we will design the bill, but more importantly, that wider continuous improvement programme under the banner of a National Care Service. So I've talked a bit about the bill being introduced. I've also reflected a bit on the next bullet on my slide, which is around the committee's scrutiny process. And thank you to all of you who may have been involved in that, whether you sent an individual evidence or whether you appeared in front of a committee to give that evidence. We have said right from the start that we want as much scrutiny and opinion around this discussion as possible. The changes proposed in response to Feely are significant, and it's important that we all work together to make sure that whatever final system redesign or any final service redesign model that is agreed has the support of people. And I think that has to not just be the support of people who currently use the service or work in the service, but we need to start making this a whole Scottish population conversation. What Feely highlighted was the need for a paradigm shift. We talk about the NHS and we accept investment levels in the NHS on a continual basis because we understand the needs of the population. We need to help the general population understand that most of us, in fact all of us, at some point in time will come into contact with the social care, social work, community health system, and therefore we all have an opinion and a view to offer on what that future system might need to look like for us. So we're currently waiting for Parliament to finalise its consideration of the National Care Service Bill, and we anticipate that sometime during the course of this year. You may have seen some coverage last week that Parliament's currently considering extending the time for the Stage 1 process to allow MSPs and the Scottish Government to consider all of that wealth of evidence that I talked about that was presented to committees during the Stage 1 process. And I think later today, hopefully, we'll find out whether or not that's been granted. And what the broad timeline for the end of Stage 1 will look like. But I think it's important to say that that doesn't stop the work. We're continuing on with the work and the design, and this only, again, impacts the bill, not that broader programme of continuous improvement. So why is co-design so important to this? So Feely recognised it in his work. I think Audit Scotland and some of their work around IJBs have also touched on this. in, what's the right word here? Theoretically, the Public Services Reform Act of 2014 should have delivered everything that I suspect we might talk about today. But what there was a gap between what the laws set out and what we practically implemented and delivered to people. And following lots of review, we think one of the ways to address that moving forward is to have that framework bill that Stuart McMillan talked about, which sets out the parameters and gives us the scaffolding to engage with people, but actually do much more of the detailed regulations and laws through a co-design process, so that we can get a better match between what the laws are aiming for and what people on the front line are wanting from that service. And we think we can support that through building on the very successful co-design process run by the Social Security Programme. And why do we need to build on that? Well, because social care is different. We don't have the Social Security system was designing services directly. In this instance, as proposed under the National Care Service, service design would still happen at a local level through local care boards, and therefore we're one step removed from that. So in addition to working directly with people with lived experience, we also have to do a lot of engagement with service delivery providers and also other partners who are on the front line, such as the NHS, delivering services to make sure that we all can agree on the right way forward. And I think I've got a slide, which I'll just skip to now, which sets out the process of co-design. Because I think this is the fundamental. There is five stages to the National Care Service co-design process. The first one is understanding, and we are very much still in this stage. So you have already provided the Scottish Government a huge amount of evidence through consultation, through independent evidence, through your evidence to committees. We're trying to understand what that tells us, and then we can then design the next stage of engagement with people. And that means that we're not asking you the same questions over and over and over again, but we have an iterative, progressive conversation that will help shape this. So we have to understand what people are telling us, fill those gaps. We collectively have to agree what the challenges and the issues are. And then when we come to stage two, we start sense-making together. So through the co-design process, we'll come together through different activities to start thinking about what the ideas about what might work, some of the solutions, some of the ways forward might be. And then we come to stage three, which is about agreeing. Once we have a list of possible solutions, we have to collectively agree. We have to agree with people. We have to agree with the workforce. We have to agree with service delivery partners that these things can actually happen in reality, that we can actually deliver these things for people, that we can monitor them, we can measure them, that they will deliver improved outcomes for people. And that agreeing part is really important. Co-design is about reciprocal partnership. So Mr. Stewart, our minister, has talked a lot about this at committee. There is no, for the majority of the National Care Service programme, we will be able to agree collectively what the right way forward is. There's a small number of areas where Parliament might decide, or where there's so many laws in existence in other parts of the UK government, etc., it might not be possible. But for the majority, they believe agreeing the right way forward is the way to go. Once we have shared and collective agreement on that way forward, we will then commission lawyers to draft regulations. Again, we've confirmed those regulations will be sense-checked back with people who've been involved in co-design. Does this law deliver what you want it to do through the agreement process? And then they'll go into parliamentary committee processes. Committees can agree or disagree with regulations. Where they disagree, and this is really important, where they disagree and they ask for changes to be made to the law, we have been clear through Mr. Stewart's presentations at committee that we will have to go back through stages potentially 3, 4, and 5, because we're not just going to change. If we've gone through a full co-design process with people, we won't then just change laws on the basis of feedback. We'll need to go back and sense check that through the process to make sure we're making the right changes to the laws to support the outcomes that people want. This is the first time we have done this in Scotland. This is hugely complicated, and I can absolutely guarantee you we will not get everything right first time. We need to trust each other in this process. We need to challenge each other, and we need to raise concerns when we see them throughout the process. And that requires all of us in this room to fully participate in this process. So that's the way that we hope co-design will work. we have, I'm probably skipping around here, but we've talked about what we think, based on the consultation and the committee evidence, what makes sense to be the first five areas that we want to talk about. So we want to come out and talk to you about information sharing. We've had loads of evidence from people that they have to tell the same parts of the workforce, and they have to tell health and social care and social work people the same information over and over and over again. So we want to engage with people to find out how they want their information to be shared, what the parameters of that should be, and what access to their own information they want to have, and how can digital tools help us do that. So that's one area where we've started some co-design activity. We've put out a recent survey, and we're currently looking at that information. The second area is around keeping care support local. So how can we make sure that we understand the needs of a local area, and then we are proactively with people designing service interventions that meet the needs of those populations? We want to make sure that rights, responsibilities, that person-centred approach is embedded in things moving forward. So we've started to work on what a charter of rights will look like. We want to come out and start talking to you about making sure our voice is heard. So there was lots of parts of Scotland where people feel that their voices and views get lost in the noise. How do we help people have a louder voice moving forward? And of course, we need to start reflecting on how we can value the totality of the community health and social care workforce. There's lots of myths going around about how far we are in this process. That last slide that I just flicked past shows you that we are at a very early stage in all of this. We are still trying to understand the information we have, and therefore the questions we need to ask as part of the first stage of the formal co-design process. So we've started at co-design activities on information sharing. We've done a little bit on the charter, and we've committed to starting co-design activities in the other three areas: keeping care support local, making sure your voice is heard, and valuing the workforce by June this year. So we're at an early stage. How are we getting people involved? Well, we're asking people to sign up for two things. Either, and you need to work this out, I can help at lunchtime, but you can either sign up for our lived experience panel, which is taking people who have current lived experience of being in receipt of community health or social care support, or who are currently delivering that on the front line. So they have got current experience of lived experience. So we've got a register for that. We've currently got 480 people on that. When you sign up, you're asked to indicate which of the five themes you're interested in, and then you're involved in those activities as and when they're launched. You can also, if you're not an individual, sign up to our stakeholder register, where that is taking people who either are a delivery body, who are a membership organisation, who work in another capacity, can register with that, and again, highlight what areas they're interested in, and then we draw from those lists as and when we have activities to be part of. We recognise that at the moment these registers are not mature enough to give us that whole population view, so we will supplement all of these activities with targeted work for key groups in line with our quality impact assessment and beyond, to make sure we are reaching as many people as possible. But as I say, this might feel a bit bumpy as we find our feet, so if you have concerns about the lived experience panels or the co-design process, the best thing you can do is get in touch with us and let us know what that is, to make sure that we can address those or point you to where you can find out regular information that we have. To support all of this and to make sure that government has loud voices sense-checking and giving us difficult feedback in relation to co-design, we've set up two partnership approaches. We've set up the Social Covenants Steering Group. I've mentioned that earlier. That's a group of individuals with lived experience. There's 22 of them, I think, on that. They meet monthly with the minister, and it's their job to give us that tough feedback in relation to how we are delivering our on co-design, including how we're doing things through our approaches to accessibility, our geographic spread across Scotland, and also making sure that we're reaching those seldom heard voices. So they meet monthly, and they have provided significant challenge to the way in which we've approached this for nearly 18 months now, and it's been hugely beneficial, and I would thank all of the people who've dedicated so much time to supporting us. We also have the key stakeholder reference group steering group, and that is a self-nominated group of 20. The membership of that will change on an annual basis, but they provide the same reflections on co-design from a stakeholder perspective. So they're saying, as a stakeholder, here's how co-design feels to us, here's what you're not doing, here's what you need to do more of. And again, they meet, I think, on a six-weekly basis to provide that rolling feedback for us. So we're always continuously approving and trying to make sure that people have access to the right information at the right time. We've also been running a number of design school, I think is the buzzword for them, but effectively online workshops run by the Chief Design Officer for the Scottish Government, just to provide people with an introduction to co-design, to help people understand the journey that we're on and what we want to achieve. So really, they're advertised on the Scottish Government website. They're open to all. There's no entry requirements, so to speak. So please do look for those and join. And we will continue to run those throughout the National Care Service Programme delivery approach on an iterative basis as we learn more and as we want to get feedback from the population more generally. About the National Care Service. But I've done a terrible job of trying to keep to time. That's a very high level summary. I'm just quickly going backwards to make sure I've not missed anything. That's a very high level summary of where we're at in terms of the National Care Service programme. I think I have got about 5 minutes to answer questions, and I'm really happy that if we don't get to you today because you want to get to your lunch, that you put them on the you put your questions on the post-it note pads, and someone's going to collect them up at the end of the day and email them to me. So if you don't want to ask, you can write as well. So apologies for the bit of the mad ramble, but hopefully that's given you a bit of an insight into where we're at and how we plan to go forward. Thank you.